Welcome to the Grand Point Church Podcast. We're a church serving the South Central Pennsylvania area with a mission to help as many people as possible take their next steps to find and follow Jesus. If you aren't already, make sure to connect with us online through social media or at grandpoint.church and let us know how God is moving in your life. Now, let's check out this week's message from Pastor Lawrence.
More powerful moment than when you behold him. I tell you what, you can't get a glimpse of God as he really is and not proclaim his beauty. So we have different definitions of beauty, obviously, but to just capture the very essence of who God is just the most beautiful thing that you will ever experience in your life. I want to thank the worship team for leading us into that. For those of you joining online today, welcome. Yeah, give these guys a great hand. I had the privilege last night of having dinner with these guys, which is what we do every Saturday night. We'll come in, we'll rehearse, have dinner together, and then lead in the service. And at dinner last night, I was sitting with this team that was up here today, welcoming Ryan into the group, and it was just amazing. These team members are just real people, And they began to share around the dinner table some of the struggles that they're going through, some of the things that are going on in their lives. And these people up here, you might think that they have it all together and that they're just perfect. For the most part, they are. But there's some struggles that they face. There's real things that happen just like are going on in your life, and yet they choose to put it all aside just to bring us into the very presence of God, and they do that well. Would you agree? So thank you for joining us, online audience. So great to have you here. Happy Mother's Day to all of you in-house. Online, we recognize that this is a day that sometimes gets a little complicated with people because mothers maybe aren't in our lives, or maybe they never were in our lives, maybe we're not mothers and all of those things. But today we want to recognize the significant influence that every woman has in their God-given mothering influence that they provide for all of us at this place and others. So welcome into the house today. Mother's Day is has been around for quite a while in some form or another. In ancient Greece, there is an annual spring event that is called Mother's Day. I mean, this goes all the way back into antiquity. In the Middle Ages, there was this custom called Mothering Sunday. And it began as children who left their homes at an early age to learn a trade or apprentice with someone came home on the fourth Sunday of Lent in order to go to church with their families. And these kids, when they're coming home from their trade school or apprentice, wherever it is, they would come home on this one week of the year and they would bring their mother a cake or some small gift. It was termed mothering. That's what they do. They're going a mothering. So they're coming home. To this day in the United Kingdom, Mother's Day is still held on the fourth Sunday of Lent. Now, it wasn't until 1872 that Julia Ward Howe, the author of The Battle Hymn of the Republic, introduced the idea of Mother's Day in the United States. One of the pastor's daughters, a Methodist pastor's daughter, Anna Jarvis, picked up on that idea. And she felt that maybe the scars of the Civil War could be healed by mothers, or at least by honoring mothers. And so she set into motion this idea to have this special day to honor mothers. But she died in 1905 before her dream of establishing a holiday could be fulfilled. Well, her daughter, also named Anna Jarvis, picked up on this, and she took up the crusade. Anna, young Anna, had been deeply influenced by her mother, and she remembers hearing her mother often say, I just hope that someday someone will establish this special day in our calendar year in which to honor mothers. Well, she also remembered hearing her mother teach a Sunday school class with the subject, All the Mothers in the Bible, and she remembers at the end of that Sunday school class, her mother again saying this prayer. She said, I hope and pray someone sometime will find a memorial Mother's Day. Well, Anna never forgot that moment. And it was said, her brother, Claude, overheard Anna say at the graveside of her mother as she placed her hand on her casket. She said, Mother, by the grace of God, you will have a Mother's Day. And from that moment of that funeral, young Anna took up this campaign to start a Mother's Day. She wrote to pastors, businessmen, politicians, editors, all to get this idea out there. She spent a fortune of her time and her money promoting this cause. And on the second anniversary of her mother's death, Anna led this small tribute to her mother at Andrus Methodist Episcopal Church in Gaffney, West Virginia. And in this service, she bought and donated 500 white carnations, her mother's favorite flower. She donated them to everyone in attendance, and all 500 people wore these white carnations on their coats or lapels to honor their mothers. Well, this whole thing just kind of got the attention of other churches and other services, and it began to pick up, and the ball began to roll with this. And then soon states started adopting this Mother's Day idea, and then several more states until 1914. President Woodrow Wilson officially established Mother's Day as a national holiday to be observed on the second Sunday of May. Here we are. We're observing that. Now, you may have heard this story before, or parts of the story, or been familiar with it, but here's part of the story that you may not have known. Now, finally having succeeded, I mean, this was years and years of promoting this idea, following up on her mother's dream. Now, Anna became sickened by the commercialization of this holiday. Right now that Mother's Day was finally established, she turned against it. The very woman that fought so hard to establish it now turned against it, actually filing a lawsuit in 1923 to stop a Mother's Day festival. She was even arrested for disturbing the peace at a Mother's Day convention that because ladies were selling white carnations. Now, here's what she said, and I'm just going to kind of inflect what I believe is her emotion in this, but Anna said, "This was not what I intended. I intended this to be a day of sentiment, not profit." Now, this next part might get some of us, but she continues, and she said, "A printed card means nothing except that you are too lazy to write to the mother who did more for you than anyone else in the world." Right. Ouch. "And candy, you take a box to mother and then you eat most of it yourself." I mean, she was so frustrated by this. And shortly before her death in 1948, Anna Jarvis was living in a nursing home, and someone got the idea to do a card shower for her. And she received cards from all over the world, literally all over the world. Reporters came, and she said to the reporters, she said, "You know what? I am truly sorry that I started this whole thing." To which we would say to Anna Jarvis, "We're not. We're not. Thank you for starting this, because we believe that this is a very perfect moment that we have to honor mothers. But we hope that it's not only a day. We hope that this is just a reminder again of the tremendous, tremendous value that women everywhere provide for us in terms of influence and in terms of love. And we just want to build this service to encourage you and say thank you." Now, I could have picked from hundreds of women in this congregation to help me do this service today, but I chose two that I know the best. One of them is a mother to my three children, and the other one is a mother to three of my grandchildren. Would you join me in just welcoming Lindy and April to our stage this morning? Oh, I'm sorry. Her name is Penny. Did I say April? Introduce myself. Nice to meet you. So, I guess I'm kind of overwhelmed by this moment of having these two women. This is Penny and my daughter, Lindy. Penny and I have three children, April, Lindy, and Dustin. We've been so blessed with these kids. I know there's moments, in our lives that we felt like maybe we should have started therapy funds instead of college funds, but thanks to my wife Penny, who was also a partner in parenting, we did not have to do that. But it has been such a joy for us to have these three children in our lives. Lindy, of course, is the middle child, and she has been known to incite middle child syndrome accusations against her parents. So let me set the record straight, because if she says anything about her being neglected or abandoned or kind of left out, That is not the case. Not the case at all. In fact, I think we have shown equal admiration to her as we did with all of our kids. In fact, if there's anything, she's probably a little bit spoiled. So anyway, that's our daughter, Lindy, who's joining us today. But I have invited them to share this message with me because there's something about a woman's nurture and perhaps nature to nurture and influence that a man does not have. And I think it even informs perhaps their view of God and perhaps how God works and God's love and maybe even God's word. So I've invited them to come and share from a woman's perspective on mothering. I've asked each of them to share a story from a mother in the Bible that was influential to them and how that mother then provided an influence that they would like to model or use that as an example. So they're going to be sharing that with you, and then even some challenges that perhaps come with doing that. Now, I would just say, as you listen to them, to the male gender out there, don't check out on this. This might be a good time for you to actually lean in, to learn from them so that you can say and encourage, you know, your significant other female in your life to her influence that she might have as well. So to Penny. Would you start and just share a little bit of your story?
So the mother of influence that came to mind for me was Lois. Now, you might not know who Lois is. She's only mentioned in the New Testament one time, and that's in the book of 2 Timothy. And I really feel that God put her in there to encourage all of us grandmothers because she was a grandmother. So that also means that she was a mother. And she, Lois lived with her, it's either her daughter Eunice or daughter-in-law. Scripture isn't real clear on that. But, and their father isn't really mentioned, so we're not sure if he passed away or what his thing was that he was doing. But we just want to focus, I've wanted to focus in on Lois because to me right now, I've raised three children and kind of I'm in Nana mode right now. We have 11 grandchildren and right now, that's my mission field. So back to Timothy. Paul wrote the book of 2 Timothy, and we see that he discipled and mentored Timothy. And the reason that that's important is because in 2 Timothy 1:3-5, Paul writes, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith," which he's talking to Timothy, "which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you." So I really feel that God put that in there for us grandmothers to realize that we have an influence in our grandchildren's life and for mothers too. Paul really saw something in Timothy that he wanted to nurture, and so he took him alongside and he mentored him, and his sincere faith really was attractive to other people. Now, this was a time when Timothy would have been taught the Old Testament scriptures from the Jewish tradition, but then he was also being taught about what Jesus had just done on the cross. And both Eunice and Lois were believers and in what Christ had just done for them, and so they wanted to impart to Timothy this same truth and to make the Old Testament come alive. So there's also one other mention. They don't mention their names, but Paul says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 14, "But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." I love that verse because it shows us the importance of teaching our little ones, whether they're your own little ones or the neighbor little one, whoever you have an influence in their life, what the importance of Scripture is, even as an infant. So that's my desire as a grandmother. But I also think that there's times when we're not sure that we're capable of it. So I definitely was not the perfect parent, you could ask Lindy. There were many times when I might have yelled at them or stopped the van and pulled it over and maybe had to discipline or tell them what they should be doing instead of yelling at each other. So I did not do everything perfect, but it's by God's grace that he took all of my efforts, because my heart's desire was to raise children who loved the Lord and had him a personal relationship with him. So that was my heart's desire, but I didn't always do what I should have done. But I can live in confidence now knowing that God forgave me, and he took all my efforts and he used them to mold and shape my children and other people that I might have influenced. And so I think that's what, you know, I really think is important about Lois, is that she did take the time to instill in Timothy, and that it was worthy of mention. I mean, it was written in Scripture, and we can still read about that. And I like to picture Lois as sitting down in her house with Timothy on her lap and reading these verses from Deuteronomy to him. I can hear her say, "Timothy, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Timothy, these commandments were given so that they would be on our hearts and that we should impress them on our children, talk about them when we sit at home and when we walk along the road or run or ride bicycle, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your homes and on your gates." So I can just picture her loving Timothy and nurturing him, taking the time to teach him the scriptures. Now, not everybody has a good example in a mother. My own mother didn't come to know the Lord until later, so she had made some mistakes, but God used them to make us all stronger and to work through them and not blame her, but to know that God can use every situation to make us want to do a job that God would be honored by. So I had many ladies in my life, though, who saw this skinny little neighbor girl, and they saw something in my heart that they wanted to nurture. And so I had other ladies and my aunt, many people who poured into my life to allow me to be where I am today. And it's such a blessing to be here today with my husband and my daughter, and knowing that my other children are watching and encouraging us in our journey as grandparents. But the one challenge I would just like to give to you is that you're never too old or never too young to encourage other people. There was a professor that once told us that you always should have someone older in your life that you're learning from, and you always should have someone younger that you're teaching to them what you have learned in life through your mistakes and through all the things that might have gone well. So I like to encourage you, whether it's the girl at the behind the counter at the grocery store or the young guy at Chick-fil-A or at McDonald's, pour into them. Get to know their names and get to know what they're going through, and tell them you'll pray for them. Walk alongside them. Read them. Send them encouraging notes of scripture. And just to remind them that they too someday can have a sincere faith.
Thank you, Penny. And I can attest as her husband that this is where her heart beats. She does have a mission field for the grandkids. Not only does she just buy them stuff all the time, but she, it's what grandmothers do, I guess, but she also just has a deep heart for them to know the Lord, and really pursues that as well. So Lindy, from a mother's perspective now, share with us your story.
Well, thank you. It truly is an honor for me to share a stage today with my mother. And Dad, thank you for this invitation. It really is a joy to do this today. And I just want to say that the very same thing she shared with you is the very same thing that she lives. Just the other week, I was at her house, and she told me, "You know what, I don't know how much time I have left, but I don't want to waste a single moment not telling my grandkids about Jesus." And she does that. She does that. And so thank you for pouring into my kids' lives and for all the time that you poured into my life. And as my dad was asking us to think about influence, the word influence, what it means, and a woman of the Bible that's influenced, automatically my mind first started going to how my mom has been an influence in our lives. And a couple examples came to mind, and I just wanted to share them with you. One major way that my mom has influenced not only my life, but my whole family's life, was by this one certain thing. Believe it or not, I had no clue that I actually liked tomatoes until I left for college. My mom's influence and her hatred of tomatoes influenced our whole entire family. I kid you not, he can back me up. We were never fed tomatoes. She never served us tomatoes and salads. And if we even got the chunky salsa for our chips and dip, she would blend that salsa up until those chunks were gone. There was no sign or hint of tomatoes in our life until I really didn't know that I liked tomatoes. I left home and I realized, hey, I kind of like tomatoes. But that was just one way that her influence. But more importantly than her culinary influence in my life and in our family's life was her spiritual influence. And she practices what she preached. From when I was a little girl until now, I have heard how much Jesus loves me. I have heard about the gospel. We were memorizing scripture. She was there for us with God's word through our ups and downs, our breakups, our falls, everything. And so just publicly, I want to take the time to say thank you for your faith and how you shared it with us and your influence on my life. And I know our my brother and sister as well. And as I looked at scripture, I was just impacted by this example of faith and the influence of faith. And I found a woman in scripture who modeled that so well for her own family and is a huge blessing to my life. And that woman's name is Jochebed. Now, I don't know if you've heard of her name before, but I'm pretty sure you've heard of her son's name because her son was none other than Moses, one of the greatest and most influential leaders in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that God used in an incredible way to save his people from slavery and bring them out of Egypt. The story takes place in Egypt. We can see in Exodus 2 is where the story begins. Jochebed is living in a time of great oppression. The time that she's living in is hard. Pharaoh is cracking down on these Hebrews living in his land. He is angry. He is scared. He is fearful that they're going to overtake their land. And so he decrees that every baby boy that's going to be born is going to be thrown into the Nile River and killed. And during that time and during that moment is when Jochebed finds herself pregnant with her third child. She had Aaron and Miriam at home, and she finds herself pregnant. I can't imagine what must have been going through her heart, through her mind, but I know if I was in her spot, I would be scared out of my mind. I would be so afraid, so afraid. What if this baby inside of me is a boy? What am I going to do? What if it's a boy? How are we going to protect him? Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? Is he going to live? Are my neighbors going to turn me in? So many fears would be running through my mind. And while scripture doesn't say everything that she thought or everything that she went through, scripture is very clear about two important things. And these two things are pretty awesome. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Hebrews 11:23. If not, I'm going to read it here. It says, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Now, before I dig into this verse, I just want to say two things. Dads, this is for you too. I know it's about Mother's Day, but it says his parents. So his dad was right there in this faith. And you too can have the same impact of faith. But I'm just going to speak about the mom today because it's Mother's Day. So don't feel excluded because you are right here. And also, I know every parent thinks that their kid is no ordinary child and the most beautiful child in the world. But I do believe that there was something special about this child when he was born and that God must have put something in their hearts for them to have such faith and conviction for what they were going to do next. Faith over fear. It does not say that they were scared, that they were running. It says they did not fear the king's edict. Faith over fear. And I believe that there's three instances in the story where we can see where that was put into action. The first one was when they hid him. Now, I don't know if you've ever held an infant in your arms. They are tiny, but they are mighty. That little baby can pack a cry. Let me tell you, I have a 7-month-old right now, and that little thing is loud. She is little, but she is loud, and I have no clue how those parents managed to hide a baby for 3 months, but they did it. Some way, they must have got creative. I don't know if they had secret holes in their house where they, I don't know what they did. But somehow they managed to hide their baby from their neighbors and from the king and from probably all those soldiers that were patrolling. By faith, not fear, they hid that baby. And then Exodus 2 picks up the story again. It says when they could hide the baby no longer, they made a basket and they got him ready for the next step. The second place where I see faith over fear in action is when the mama got ready. She used her hands and she got a basket made out of papyrus, and she coated that basket with tar and with pitch and probably everything she could to make that basket waterproof, and I'm sure crocodile proof, because crocodile nails, they are a real thing and they are real scary. So I'm sure that that mama did everything she could with her hands to prepare a basket that was safe and fit for her baby. And after she did everything that she could, she had to surrender. Now, she took her baby to the Nile River. She placed him in that basket, and I am sure with some tears and with a big kiss, she said goodbye to her baby, not knowing what was going to happen, and she placed him in the Nile River, and she let go. Now, she could not have known at that moment what God was going to do. She could not have foreseen the miracle after miracle after miracle that God was going to do, because God was there in every detail, and God did not leave that baby alone in that Nile. And that baby was not any less protected in the Nile than when he was in his mama's arms, because he did not leave him alone. The Bible says that Miriam, his older sister, was on the bank. Pharaoh's daughter was getting into the water. They find the basket. Pharaoh's daughter has compassion because she hears Moses cry. She wants to adopt this baby. The story is incredible, incredible. And it even comes to the point where Pharaoh's daughter allows Jochebed, his own mother, to take that baby back home and nurse him, and even pays her to nurse her own child. It's so funny. And she gets to take her own child home and nurse him and care for him. And for maybe 3 to 4 years is the typical time that children were weaned. Back in then, history tells us that they were typically weaned around 3 or 4 years. That mother got to care for her baby and nurse him and care for him in the most delicate and fragile and vulnerable years of his life. What a treasure. What a treasure. A reward for her faith, I believe. And came the time where we see the third moment where she had to put her faith into action. Faith over fear. Once again, she had to give her baby over and surrender him to a pagan palace. She had to surrender her baby once again, not to the Nile, but to the Pharaoh's princess, the Pharaoh's daughter. And once again, I put myself in her shoes, and I have a 3-year-old at home, and I have a 5-year-old, and they are probably around the same age as this little baby was when she had to give him back to Pharaoh's daughter. And I cannot imagine surrendering my child to an unknown future like that. I can't even tell you the amount of times this past year where I know we've all felt fear in different situations, but I have felt fear for my children and just the unknown future that they hold, and a scary time in this world where I'm raising my children. And I know I've thought so many things. If, do I send them to school? Do I not send them to school? Do I homeschool them? Am I going to mess them up if I homeschool them? Am I going to mess them up if I send them to public school? What about the mask, the not mask, the vaccine? So many things, so many fears, and not just about this year, but what if they fall? What if they hurt, broken bones? There's so many fears we can face, and I felt every single one of them as a parent, and it's easy to give in to them. But I can assure you that the same mom who took all that time to prepare that basket is the same mom who took the time to prepare her baby for the palace. And scripture doesn't say, but I can guarantee you that that mama heart and that mama was influencing her child with every single day that she had with him, because she knew her time was short. And guys, it doesn't take long to influence somebody's life. Whether you have a little bit of time or a lot of time, it doesn't take a lot of time to influence somebody's life forever and to change the course of their life. And we don't know, but I'm positive that she was influencing and teaching her child about the one true God and about the faith of their fathers and everything that God had done in their past. And time came where she, by faith, over fear, surrendered her child to Pharaoh's daughter. And after that, we don't know much about Jochebed. Scripture doesn't say much more about it. We don't hear anything else about her in the scripture except for a couple lines of genealogy. We don't know if she lived long enough to see the amazing things that God did with her child. But we do read a lot about Moses. And the scripture says a ton about Moses, and books of the Bible were written by Moses. And if we go back to Hebrews 11:24, the very verse after the faith of his parents, where it talks about the faith of his parents, it talks about the faith of Moses. And three times it says, by faith, Moses, by faith, by faith. And one of the times that I love, it says, by faith, Moses was not afraid of the king. Just like his parents weren't afraid of the king, he was not afraid of the king. Talk about influence. Talk about influence. And I don't know what fears you're facing. I know we're all in different stage. Many of you are not mothers today. Many of you maybe are grandmothers or do not have children or who have lost children or are not even mothers. But wherever stage you're in, I know we all have Nile rivers that we're facing. Maybe you're confronting a pagan palace to say today. I don't know where you're at, but I do know that the same God that was with Moses in the Nile and with Moses, the same God that was giving faith to Jochebed is the same God that is with you today for whatever situation you are in. And you are not alone, and you are not left alone to fend for yourself, to fend off those crocodiles, to fend off the pagan gods. You are not alone. You are not alone in your pagan palace or in your Nile River. God is with you, and he loves you, and he is with you in your parenting journey, and we do not have to live in fear. We can choose faith over fear today, like Jochebed did, and that's just what God put on my heart to share with you guys today, and I hope that's the woman I can be, and the kind of woman that I can raise, and the kind of mother I can influence my kids with as well. So, thank you.
I had a mother say just a couple of weeks ago, actually heard this from her, she said, I am not, well actually it wasn't a mother, it was a woman, I will not bring children into this world because I have no idea what they're going to face. And she was living out of that fear, making a choice not to bring children into this world. Now, maybe you're making that choice on your own, and that's okay. I mean, that's your decision. But many of us do have children or grandchildren, and we fear. Just like Lindy said, there's a lot of things coming into their lives, and we're a little bit scared about what that will be for them in their future. But I found this writing from a youth pastor out of Arkansas, Alex Cravens, and he wrote something that you need to hear. You absolutely need to hear this. So I'm going to have Penny read this for you as kind of our wrap up here this morning. Listen carefully to this.
Don't feel sorry for or fear for your kids because the world that they are going to grow up in is not what it used to be. God created them and called them for the exact moment in time that they're in. Their life wasn't a coincidence or an accident. Raise them up to know the power that they walk in as children of God. Train them up in the authority of His Word. Teach them to walk in faith, knowing that God is in control. Empower them to know that they can change the world. Don't teach them to be fearful and disheartened by the state of the world, but hopeful that they can do something about it. Every person in all of history has been placed in the time that they were in because of God's sovereign plan. That Daniel could handle the lion's den. He knew that David could handle Goliath. He knew that Esther could handle Haman. He knew Peter could handle persecution. He knows that your child can handle whatever challenge they face in their life. He created them specifically for it. Don't be scared for your children, but be honored that God chose you to parent the generation that is facing the biggest challenges of our lifetime. Rise up to the challenge. Raise Daniels, Davids, Esthers, Peters, Moses, and Timothys. God isn't scratching his head wondering what he's going to do with this mess of a world. He has an army that he's raising up to drive back the darkness and make him known all over the earth. Don't let your fear steal the greatness that God placed in them. I know it's hard to imagine them as anything besides our sweet little babies, and we just want to protect them from anything that could ever be hard on them. But they were born for such a time as this.
Amen. Your kids and grandchildren are God's army. He is raising them up. He He's raising them up, and he's using you. You've heard it said. I know we've heard it said a lot. Enjoy your children now because they grow up so quickly. Enjoy your children while you have them. And that's true. They do grow up quickly. There were times in our lives where we wanted to like just freeze them for a little bit, you know, when they're in that cute stage or whatever. Just wanted to freeze them. I don't think we have any kids in the freezer, do we? We forgot about. But I would say also, not only enjoy your children while you have them, but prepare them while you have them. Prepare them because they grow up so fast and soon they leave and soon they're going out to other influences. Prepare them. Get them into the Word. Man, we do so many things to give our kids the best benefits of this and this and this. Give them what matters the most. Give them a spiritual foundation. God has called us, our role as men, you need to embrace your role as fathers and mothers and grandparents. Embrace your role to raise kingdom children, boys and girls, to be kingdom men and women, because God needs them, the world needs them like never before. And God has given us that role and that responsibility. So I wanted to thank Penny and Lindy for their role in this, and thank you so much for sharing all your stories. Thanks. And I want to take this moment and I want to pray. I want to pray over the women, mothers and grandmothers that are in this place today. For those of you that are watching online again, it is such a joy to be able to honor you today, women, and acknowledge your influence in our lives. So church, would you bow your heads and pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the gift of mothers. May they be bearers, may these bearers of life not only be ones who give life, but also nurture life and be bearers of your word. May they, mothers and grandmothers and all women, just teach and train children in the way that they should go so that when they're older, they will not depart from it. And even when children are grown, Father, help these mothers to remember again the continual influence that they can still have in their lives so that they would continue to bear seeds that would bear fruit of the Spirit. And just like a mother's work is never done, we just pray that a mother would recognize that her prayers for her children are never done as well. God, to the moms this morning who are struggling, we pray that you would just help them to find purpose and joy in what they do. Maybe there's those moms that just can't find joy today in what they do. May you just bring that into them as they realize again the significant role that they have. To the moms who are remembering children who have died or pregnancies that miscarried, we pray for them today. And I know that in their grief and in their loss, they're remembering these things very well. But fill their hearts today with this sense of purpose that they can carry into the shared experience of other people. We pray today for the mothers who have decided that other parents were the best choice for their babies. To mothers then that have adopted these kids and have loved them fiercely as their own. God, we thank you for those arrangements. We thank you for those, or we pray for those women today who are experiencing frustrations or desperation perhaps in infertility. And even those who never wanted to have children but or decided not to, but are today contributing and sharing in our shared world of mothering. To those who mothered colleagues and mentees and neighborhood kids and anyone who needed it, we give you thanks today. And perhaps many of us are remembering mothers who are no longer with us. We remember those special moments that we have had, and we honor her today even through those memories. Maybe there's those today that are moving forward from moms who did not show love or hurt those that they should have been caring for. For whatever reason, those circumstances existed, God, help us to overlook that, to move forward from that, and to look back and give you thanks for what we've learned even through those experiences today. Today, we're grateful for the grandmothers, that next generation that also continues to have significant influence in children's lives. We thank you for their love and their wisdom that have helped shaped us into who we are and what we've learned about how to love you and how to love each other by their example. Bless them with long life and show us how to honor them in ways that would let them know just how much they mean to us and that would be pleasing in your sight. But for all of us here today, we move now just beyond the mothering, but all those that have the opportunity to influence. God, help us to do that well, knowing that this next generation of children or next generations of children are those that you are raising up to make a difference in our world. And God, this world needs godly young men and women. They need kingdom kids to rise up and make a difference, to stand firm for what is right and what is true, and to lead culture, to lead a life. And God, so I pray that we would do our part in that and help us to make this an urgent matter because the time is short. God, we're so grateful again for your model of perfect love that enables us to know how to love others. And we thank you again that we can live in that love and share that love in every way possible. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, would you stand together as we sing?